Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing. All you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
There's a scouting report on Reddit on different dating apps, and I'm curious because I've never had to be on one, or I've never been on one.
Must be nice.
If they're accurate.
It is.
They weren't even around when I was dating, so I'll just take that. I was grandfathered in to health. Okay, so we'll get to that in just 1 second, but I got a question for you, Abby, before we even start that.
I have an answer.
I don't know if you do.
Oh.
What did you do to the interns this weekend? So I'm by the coffee machine, right? One of the interns, I'm not going to name her by name, but she comes in and she's just, I mean, I could hear the shuffle in her feet. She's so tired, she can't even pick her feet up.
Dragging them?
Yeah. So I say to her, you all right? What's going on? She's like, oh, I'm so tired. I went out with Abby this weekend and she just doesn't know when to stop.
That was not my experience.
That's all I'm saying is one of the interns is really exhausted today, and here we are Tuesday feeling the effects of Abby from Saturday.
Listen, if the interns can't hang, that's not my problem. I wasn't the one to hire
them. That's right.
That's a Tommy problem.
Can't be a woman at night? Then you can't be a woman in the morning.
Amen to that.
That's right. All right, so here it is. Here's your scouting report. Tell me if these are accurate or not, okay? He says he's a 25-year-old male, and he's just gotten on to the apps. He says he's just below average height, says he's in pretty dang good shape, not a bodybuilder, kind of introverted, and in just over 6 months single, and he's based out of London, okay? So he's like, you know what? I'm going to go on the dating app, so let's check these things out. This is his impressions. Tinder. I'll match with women my age, 1 year on either side. They're usually be quite introverted, and the conversation is pretty playful and flirty from the jump. I'll usually be asked out after about 1 week or of talking. So either he's doing the asking out or they are. We'll go out on a non-Friday weekday or Saturday, never Sunday. We get drinks at a pub or a bar. On the first date, things typically don't go beyond flirting, footsie under the table. Usually we'll kiss and whatever else on the second date and onwards.
Footsie, hello.
Footsie.
I've never once had a man try and play footsie with me.
Maybe it's an English thing.
Maybe
yeah,
it is.
I've never heard of that either.
Okay.
So Tinder is typically known as the more casual app. So it seems like he's bringing up the flirty conversation in his first impression. And I would say that's pretty accurate. I haven't been on Tinder since college, mainly just because it started to feel a little bit like low grade prostitution.
Save that. Please save that. All right. So let's chew on Bumble. That's the one you're on mostly, that and Hinge?
Yeah, those two for sure.
Bumble. I'll typically match with introverted women.
Why is everybody introverted?
Yeah, how does he even know that they're introverted? Because it's their pictures.
Well, that and also, like, I feel like almost everybody's on a dating app. So you're going to get a good mix of introverts and extroverts. Yeah, extroverts like to go out. They're social. They should be able, by title or by definition of extrovert, you should be able to easily meet people at bars or restaurants or other activities. So I feel like it's just like a blanket statement to assume everybody is an introvert. I'm guessing he's saying that based on the dates he's gone out on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like attracts like. So if you're an introvert, you're probably going to attract other introverts.
He says on Bumble that conversation is usually a bit more stilted at first, but gets deep once we find some common ground.
Mm.
This is on Bumble. After around 2 weeks of talking, I'll be the one to suggest a date, typically coffee somewhere. The dates have a friendlier vibe to them, rarely flirty at all on Bumble. I could count on one hand how many women I've kissed from Bumble.
Yeah, Bumble, I would say most people are looking for a relationship on Bumble. So if he's getting a friendly vibe, it might just be sort of like the first date vibes of someone trying to feel you out. Whereas Tinder people might be just a little bit friskier off the bat because there is more of like a casual undertone. I was actually thinking yesterday while I was on Bumble that it does take a second for the conversation to get off the ground because women have to make the first move. And I ain't going to put more energy into the conversation than you're putting in. So if this guy is introverted and he's just like, hey, how was your week, I'm gonna hit you right back with the same thing.
Same vibe.
It was good. Yep.
Okay. And Hinge, he says Hinge is the strange one.
Okay.
Typically match with highly educated, very extroverted older women, mainly late 20s, early 30s, with a couple of 40s in there. Conversation usually zeroes in on something deep, common ground straight away, but never really flirty. They'll usually be the one to ask me out fairly quickly. I had one woman ask me out on her fifth message the other day. Dates have so far always been on the weekend, usually involve walking around, followed by drinks. The vibe usually turns pretty friendly. And we'll end up chatting about work, and we don't really talk about relationship intentions and stuff. We'll talk for a couple of hours and leave things on a friendly term. Yet to have a second date from Hinge, though.
Oh, that's interesting. All of my second and third dates have come from Hinge. And what I like about that app more is it's easier to get the conversation off the ground because you can like specific photos and you can like specific prompts. So it's easier to be like, oh, you also like Star Wars? And then you can start talking about Star Wars.
I would like more information about his data, exactly how many dates this dude has been on each app in order to see if there's any validity to his results.
Yeah, right. this might be all about him and nobody else.
Yeah.
But some of them are fairly accurate as far as you have experienced also.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, Tinder, it's the flirty, casual hookup app. Bumble, it's the guys who don't want to start the conversation. So it's the women carrying the conversation on the back. And then Hinge, it's all the women in their late 30s trying to make a move. They're running out of time.
there's an air of like, hey, we need to meet each other quickly.
There's urgency for sure.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
All right, so Cassie here is thinking, look, if you are feeling good about yourself this morning, she wants to make sure that a lot of you guys listening have already been labeled a spinster.
Listen, I'm going to give the power back to you. Okay, so here's the thing. If you guys don't know the term spinster, it's akin to old maid, right?
Yeah.
It came about in the 1300s. It means...
In the 1300s?
1300s. It means...
Going back.
It's used in a negative connotation, like for an unmarried single woman. But of course, spinster actually meant you could make a really decent living, like spinning thread and clothing, so you didn't need to marry a man because you were able to be independent. So then they're called spinsters, and all these paintings came out like they're going to be punished in hell for not marrying and being an old maid. Bad thing.
It actually sounds like a compliment. Like, you can take care of yourself and you're capable. You don't need a man. So men are going to label you just to put you down.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, because it was the 1300s.
Right. Not just men, society. Women would label other women spinsters, too.
Mm. Yeah, so. Women be bitches, too.
That's what we call them now. We don't call them spinsters anyway. So. Bitch.
But whenever I thought of spinster or old maid, I always thought of somebody like, when I was younger, in their 50s, which I know is not old, but like when you're young, that seems old. And then as I got older, I was like, oh, late 30s, 40s, it's the pejorative term, you know, for an unmarried woman in their late 30s and 40s. No. Would you care to guess the age cap for the term spinster?
Like, there's a cap?
There's a cap. It's an age range that you get labeled a spinster if you are an unmarried woman.
So nowadays or back in the day?
For all time is the official definition.
I was going to say, based on your definition, 50 and older.
All right, Abby?
I'm going to say 27 and older because that's the age Charlotte Lucas was in the Pride and Prejudice series, and she is the original spinster.
Mo?
I was thinking 25 and older.
All right.
And I was going to say 28 and older.
Damn.
26.
Damn.
You are between the ages of 23 and 26, and you are unmarried. You are a spinster.
I am in my spinster era, is what you're saying?
You are. You are.
I don't think Taylor has a song about that.
No. The next era is even better. If you're between the ages of 26 and 29 and you are unmarried, you are not called a spinster. You are called a thorn back.
A thorn back. Uh-huh. Right. Do you know why?
It came about in the 1700s, and it is a fish. It is. It looks like a stingray almost, like a tiny mini stingray with a bunch of thorns on its back. So you're named after a fish.
Damn.
Sexy.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So somebody's looking at these, and then the next one they've listed out, too, and I can't find the origin of this one, and after that they say they've made up categories to continue the trend since it was unheard of anyone in their 40s to be unburied back in the day. So if you're between the ages of 29 and 35, you, my friend, are a Venus death trap.
Whoa. Those are like the old plants that just stay open, right? And then when a fly comes in there, they slowly suffocate the fly, right?
Because it gets stuck in the sticky, like, yes. whatever inside. That's a Venus fly trap. So if you're a woman, though, who's unmarried, you're a Venus death trap.
Death trap.
That's a good porn star name.
I was a Venus death trap, and I didn't even know it.
Isn't that fun?
I would have fully embraced that.
Does it make you feel sexy?
It does not.
Well, it's about to get sexy, because at this point, those are the official terms. Right, but at the age of 35, pretty sure you died in the 1300s. Like you're done.
You had no man to take care of you.
Well, you had no man to take care of you, but also life expectancy was real short. Mm-hmm. So somebody has come up with more categories. They've made so these are not historically like it's not somebody in the 1300s calling you this. They are taking it back, and they say if you are between the ages of 35 and 40, and you are unmarried, you are a lady of the blade.
Lady of the blade. So I went, because I also was a lady of the blade.
If you were between 40 and 45 and you were unmarried, you are a fanged dowager.
The visions of these, oh man. Are they getting better or are they getting worse here?
I don't know. It's like we went up with Venus Death Trap and Lady of the Blade, then fanged dowager, but I imagine at that age you give no F's.
Yeah, probably not. All I know is I was watching Blue Planet yesterday with Jimmy, and it was like the deep. So all those weird creatures mm-hmm. like in the twilight zone of the ocean. And I feel like you're just naming off all those creepy ass fish we watched yesterday on Blue Planet.
If you're 46 to 49, you are a short-faced mama bear.
What the hell?
All right, that feels.
I think it's getting a little negative again. I like this one though. 50 plus.
Yeah.
You're a woolly mammoth matriarch.
A woolly mammoth matriarch.
I could roll with that.
A woolly mammoth?
Woolly mammoth matriarch.
Okay. Yeah.
Not willy, woolly.
Woolly.
Woolly mammoth.
And then if you're over 50, the name for you does not exist. They just wrote terrified silence, shifting eyes. If you speak of her, she will know and she will show you no mercy.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Actors Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell have been getting asked the same question for about 40 years. Why aren't you two married? She thinks because they've never gotten married, they've been able to stay independent thinkers.
Yeah, I think as you get older, the idea of love and marriage gets less romantic and more practical.
Boy, does it.
came from the soul.
She spoke to my soul.
And you're still young. And I'm not saying it's not romantic, but I do think that when you go through a divorce and you get a little bit older, you start looking at it more practically than you do romantically.
I mean, and that just, I think that makes sense.
And she's in her, what, 60s, 70s?
Yeah, I know Kurt Russell's like in his 70s, yeah. So probably around the same age. But yeah, I for me, like I've seen so many people, I think what hurts the idea of romance is you see people fall in love and get married. You're like, oh my God, that's so sweet. And then you see them break up and you go, ah, yes, love is a lie. And so I think what they've done is just done what works for them and they seem very happy. I think most people would be jealous of their relationship.
She's 77, by the way.
77. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you take a look at the couples like Ariana Grande and they're breaking up after 2 years.
I know, it's such a bummer. Love is a lie. Okay, Bebe Rexha, she's sharing screenshots from her boyfriend talking about her weight. Now fans think they've broken up. So the screenshots drop us in the middle of a conversation where they're talking about her weight and his text can be seen. He says, I always said I would be honest with you and your face was changing. So I told you it was. That was the conversation we were having and you asked, because I care, would you rather I lied to you? You gained 35 pounds. Obviously you gained weight and your face changes. Should I just pretend it didn't happen and that's okay? He then suggests that she would go to therapy to get to like the root of her body image problems. But like over the past few months, BB's been super
vocal about the fact that she's been struggling with legitimate health problems through PCOS, and that's changed the way that her body looks. Mm-hmm. And a lot of fans are calling him an a-hole for talking about her weight at all.
I get torn by these stories because it's the exposure of private text messages, and like it's like this fine line, and like while I understand why she wants to do it, at the same time, like, these are two people that had a private conversation, and you're putting that other person on blast.
Yeah. Well, if there's a question if they're still together, I can assure you they're not. Yeah. And the second thing is, did I miss this, or did you say that he says that she asked?
Yes.
Because that changes everything, right?
Yeah, because we don't see her side of the conversation. We just see this long text post from him, and it kind of seems like... Yeah, at some point, she asked him, How do I look?
Do I look different?
Yeah, do I look different? And I guess instead of, you know, lying, he was just being honest with how he felt.
Now, that changes the texture of the whole debate for me, right? If he volunteers this to her, that's just mean.
Like, he's like, damn, you've gained weight.
Right, and he's not saying, he's not coming from a place of health or anything like that. But if she asks and he answers honestly and then she blasts him socially, that doesn't feel right.
And the fact she's asking him... if you're asking your partner, you're obviously feeling a certain way about yourself. So I kind of don't disagree with him about seeing somebody to talk about your body image issues if there are some there to discuss.
Yeah. So I read the whole message, and honestly, it doesn't seem like something super vindictive. Like, he was coming at it from a place of malice. I mean, when it just comes to women and like our appearance and our body image, it's just something that we're really sensitive about. And I just think he pressed the wrong button.
All right. So let's go to school on this then. Okay. Teach us, cavemen. If a woman asks the same question, hey, do you think I put weight on? Do I look differently? At that point, guys notice, and your man notices, do we just lie? Or are you really looking for honesty?
You don't need to lie about your opinion, but I just think the right thing to do is to give words of affirmation, because all a woman is asking in that point, and at that point in time, is saying, I feel really vulnerable at how I look. I just need some reassurance that you still like me.
I feel like the mistake I've made in the past is thinking that if you ask me, then the delivery doesn't matter. And I can be honest. Right. The delivery matters regardless.
Right.
Because there's
right.
a reason why she's asking.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just... It's a minefield. Good luck.
We ain't gonna get this right.
Run.
You gonna blow up.
Call it over. Do whatever you gotta do.
Two of the hottest couples in Hollywood are reportedly splitting. Love is a lie. Stick around. We'll talk about it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
This was shocking here. So there was a kid, a 15-year-old, that's been missing for 11 days, had been kidnapped by a dude that she met online.
Terrifying.
Whoa.
And they couldn't pinpoint her location anywhere. They couldn't find her at all. Well, at some point over the course of the last 24 hours, the girl got on her Nintendo Switch to watch YouTube videos and download a game. And from that... the FBI was able to figure out exactly where she was, and they saved her.
And thank God for the friend who saw she was online and alerted the parents and the authorities. And so, thankfully, Nintendo cooperated, and the FBI, they were able to find the IP address, and they were able to rescue her from her kidnapper.
Crazy, right?
That's when technology comes into play to help, man.
Right?
Wow.
And the third thing is, you guys helped out one of our teachers in a big way yesterday. We have started the Burt Show's Clear My Wish List again.
Teachers, get all your classroom needs fulfilled right now. Burt Show Clear My Wish List.
All right, teachers, we see you, we feel you. 90% of you guys are spending $750 a year on your own school supplies. So we've asked you to give us a call, tell us about your class, and maybe we can rally Burt Show family to help you out. And yesterday, you helped out Carly Shaw, who's a first-year teacher. She's teaching the fourth grade at Lyman Hall Elementary in Gainesville. You went online and you went to the website, you saw her wish list, and you helped her out big time. Here she is thanking you guys.
Hi, everyone. My name is Carly, and I was chosen yesterday to be the teacher of the day with a Teacher Clear wish list by The Burt Show. And I just wanted to come here and thank everyone who bought something for me from my teacher wish list. I am so extremely grateful for any and everything that was bought. I'm also extremely grateful for The Burt Show for giving me this opportunity and for Nicole Cruz for nominating me. Things like this never happened to me, so I am still so excited that I was chosen. As a first-year teacher, I'm coming into this and with not a lot of stuff like most veteran teachers have from their years of experience. So thanks to y'all, I am coming into the school year with so much more than I could have ever asked for my students. It made me feel extremely blessed that I was given this opportunity, and I cannot wait for my 20 students to have one of the best rooms in the school thanks to everyone who bought me stuff from my wish list. Thank you all so much.
So thanks, you guys. I mean, and we're not asking you to do all of it by yourself. We're just asking you to go on there and buy one or two items. Some of these items are like $5.
Exactly.
That's it. And it helps out a lot. So let's work on teacher number two today, which is Kristen Dawson. She's been teaching for 8 years, 7 years, a third grade teacher at a private school. And it is her first year teaching the fourth grade, though, at Hendry Park Elementary in Angola, Indiana.
Hey, Burt Show fam. My name is Kristen Dawson. I've been teaching for 8 years now, and I've had some recent life changes. I could really use your help clearing my classroom wish list. I taught 7 years in third grade at a private school. When my father-in-law was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, my husband and I knew that we needed to make the move to be closer to him. So we picked up our lives, and I had to move schools. I took a job in a low-income area, very different from what I had grown accustomed to. This will be my second year teaching at Hendry Park in Angola, Indiana, and my first year in fourth grade. These kids and their life circumstances have really captured my heart and made me want to be a better teacher and human in general. I strive to make my classroom a place where everyone feels loved, safe, and comfortable, and a place where learning is a passion. I would love to be able to provide them with the things that would make their learning experience one they will always remember. On my list, you'll find items for our reward box, fidget toys to help with behaviors, curricular resources, writing tools, snacks for those kids who come in hungry in the morning, and so much more. All I really want is for these kids to leave my classroom a little bit smarter and a whole lot more compassionate, kind, and responsible humans than when they entered. I want them to be able to go out and make a positive impact on our world, and you can help make it possible. Thank you for all you do for our teachers. You're truly the best.
When I checked out Ms. Dawson's list, some things that you would never think of to be put on a wish list, but like she has mini toothpaste, many bottles of toothpaste, mm-hmm. Tubes of toothpaste. She has toothbrushes. She has deodorant, because these are some of the things that these kids don't have at their own home.
Look, man, if your kid was in this situation, you'd want them to have a teacher like Kristen here that's taking mm-hmm. care of not only the books and decorations, but also hooking them up with snacks and toothpaste and stuff like that. So, again, we're not asking you to clear the whole thing by yourself, just one or two items, and then we can come back here tomorrow and tell her, hey, we've already cleared everything on your wish list. So that wish list is up online at theburtshow.com. And if you follow us on any one of our platforms on social, we'll put that up also. Again, that's Kristen Dawson. And if you know a teacher that needs some help, go ahead, direct her to theburtshow.com. We'll do another one tomorrow.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble,
With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
It's cats. It's cats that are terrorizing the neighborhood. All I can think of is this rescue dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just wants to be love and rescue. Get me out of here. Finally, a loving family comes. They bring him into the house. He's feeling secure for the first time in his life. I can just chill. I'm being fed. Nothing to worry about. And then the pack of cats from next door all of a sudden starts terrorizing him.
Meow.
And that's what's going on with Lucy here. Hey, Lucy.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Good. Did I paint a decent picture of that?
Close. I found out the cats have been around before I moved in the neighborhood, so they think it's their home.
Okay.
And Lucy, did you feel like you had to go on the voice disguise there because you're afraid the cats are going to come find you?
You know, the neighbors.
Are these?
And I'm the dog neighbor, you know?
Yeah. Are these cats from one family, one neighbor, or are they a bunch of cats that are getting together and just forming this group?
Two of the cats are actually from the other lady down the street, but the feral cat wound up having two litters before they could catch her.
Okay.
And now everybody's been caught, everybody's been fixed, everybody's had their ears snipped, they've all been returned home, nobody's been destroyed, which is good. I'm not anti-cat, I'm just anti-cat in my own stinking backyard.
This is like the third call like this. The cats are starting to, like, rebel. It's a rebellion right now. Give us the whole history here.
Well, all in all, we're talking about 7 feral outdoor cats and 2 additional indoor-outdoor cats.
Okay.
And I have seen them climb fences like a man walks up a ladder. I've seen it. I wish I had a video to show you. So they come in my fence, climb the fence, come in the yard, and do their business, okay? Which is annoying because my poor little baby, she was brought from a southern state that traditionally does not take care of animals. Finally got her out of her shell, yada, yada, yada. Well, she's food insecure because she was starved the first several years of her life. Mm-hmm. So anything that can go in the mouth will go in the mouth. So my dog can't go in my backyard because all the cat poop.
Yeah, that's not good for dogs.
Huh.
And it is fenced in. It is fenced in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really annoyed with the cats. I'm a little annoyed with the neighbor, but I understand because, you know, they're cats. You don't kill them because they're cats. You may not like them, but you don't kill animals. So what do I do? I mean, I thought, I'll put eucalyptus out and I'll put lavender out, and then Abby goes, no, don't do that. That'll kill them. Oh, I don't want them dead. I just want them out of my backyard.
Can't you get, a more aggressive cat to fight off the other cats?
No, then that cat's going to become the leader of this cat gang they got going on.
You think they'll convert it?
You got that right.
Get your own, Texas Walker Ranger cat in your backyard. Just around kicking everybody out of the backyard.
Go to the same rescue that has cats also, and the one that is the biggest pain in the ass, say, I'll take it.
Skilled cat. Trained cat. From Taken.
Technically, 7 of them are, so 2 are, domesticated. They're inside, outside, but 7 are feral. Unless you get the city involved and you get them removed and taken somewhere else, I don't know what the solution is.
Well, she has a big heart, and I understand. And if I see a stray pup, nobody would say I would take care of it. Yada yada.
Yeah.
But they're in the neighborhood, and she feeds the cats, and of course, it means the fox has to come, and any other wildlife that we have wants to come. And we are within town limits. We're not out in the boondocks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it's just I don't want to sound like the AH, as they say, but. Mm-hmm. I want to catch these cats and take them to where there's a feral county in a different, there's a feral colony in a different county.
There's got
to
be.
I would like to catch them and take them there, but they've been caught a couple times before. And then if my neighbor sees me, well, then we're going to have a neighborhood war.
Who do you call professionally for somebody like this? I mean, the cops got other things to do.
Yeah.
But animal control, I'm sure you've called them, right?
Well, animal control won't help you unless you've already caught them.
Unless you've already caught them.
Caught them.
Okay.
And the rescue groups already know her because they've helped her pay for the spaying and the first bite of shots. And, you know, they even helped donate her food, okay, at the beginning. But it's just... Right. I don't want to be the jerk here, but I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
Lucy, have you had any conversations with the neighbor? Like, hey, because obviously you both love animals and you both have rescued animals. So you have that common bond, right? So have you discussed this with her or him?
I have, and their solution was to create an outdoor litter box for the cats in her backyard.
Okay.
Which was wonderful if the cats decide to use it, but the cats have been doing this for, I've had the dog. Yeah, I've been doing this for over 3 years.
Oh, gosh. They're not going to change their ways.
Setting their ways.
No.
This is like almost the same vein as the call we took the other day. If these are my cats, I'm taking care of my cats.
But they're not
her
cats.
But the problem is, right.
Mm. Have you talked to the rescue shelters that have been helping her? Could maybe you go to them and ask for their advice and their help?
And they will go right back to her. That's how buddy-buddy they are.
Dang, it's politics working here. It's all who you know.
It's like a cat mafia.
Even in the feline world, right? It's a cat mafia.
I don't know how you get rid of them.
Abby, you're the cat lover.
Here's cat pervert.
That's what I meant.
That's your bad music.
Yeah, apparently you don't want to bring the cats to my house. I think we should get together a Burt Show squad of cat lovers who want to go to different Burt Show listeners' house, and we just capture these kitties and we take them somewhere. That's all I have.
Give them good homes.
So are you going to lead these cat lovers
To
victory?
No, I'm going to delegate that to the Liam Neeson cat.
Lucy, we don't have a lot of answers for you yet, but you know what will happen is, believe it or not, there are a lot of opinionated people on Facebook.
Yes.
So when we post this, we'll probably get some ideas, and I would urge you to go there and check out those comments also, okay?
Okay, well, short of putting in a new fence that my neighbor already has done in the cat's kit in her yard anyway.
Dang. Yeah, you're in a tight spot here, man.
I'm sorry.
We just don't have a lot of calls coming in to help you, so check our Facebook page later on today, okay?
Okay, so you reassured me I'm not crazy. Thank you very much.
You're not crazy. All right. Take care, Lucy.
Thank you, Mom. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
Proud of myself because I think I figured out a win-win-win situation all the way around this weekend. I told you guys yesterday, my mom, who has dementia in her mid-80s, fell and broke her hip. Mm-hmm. It's always very, very bad for somebody that age that wasn't really having a whole bunch of purpose to live anyway. She's really been pretty bummed and pretty depressed. And, she's been talking. Sometimes she talks nonsense about taking her own life. And I'm really just scared that because the statistics are what they are when it comes to these hip breaks and the elderly, like, the mortality rate is really, really high within about a year. And I've also told you guys about the history with my mom and all of her sons, the estrangements. Nobody's really attached to her, including myself. And I also told you yesterday that I'm putting the past in the past. I'm just going to do the right thing. F my feelings. Do what's right. It's my mom. So this is just one of those summers that we as a family haven't been able to go on a vacation. Hollis, my 16-year-old, has been doing some charity work and
he's done some mission trips, right?
Mission trips and Eliza's weekends with us just happen to be on weekends that Hollis is with his mom. So we haven't spent any time together. So I thought, you know what? Win, 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 win all the way around. We'll all go up to New York City this weekend. I'll visit with my mom. For a while. And then we'll all spend the weekend in New York City. Eliza's all stoked about going to the American Girl Doll store.
It's the American Girl Doll Cafe. Put some respect on it.
Can I tell you that we watched a video about this for 20 minutes last night? She's an excitable girl, and I haven't seen her this excited in about 5 years.
So that's still huge, and it's still a thing, huh?
Oh, it's becoming actually big with girls my age, too, because they found out that you can get drunk at the American Girl Doll place.
Wait. Hold on.
Okay, now I'm interested.
Now we got a game changer. Because I told her yesterday that, look, Hollis and I aren't going to be able to do this for 6 hours because she wants to do the whole thing. Get the doll.
Yeah.
I guess there's a salon there where, what a racket, that they do the girl's hair.
Uh-huh.
And then they do the live child's hair the same way that they do the doll's hair.
That's
also
amazing. That is so cute.
Yeah.
if you were to go to the College Football Hall of Fame, you would not think twice.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't get my hair done like Tom Brady.
Well, maybe you should consider it.
I
want
to know how much a full day at the American Dog Cafe runs you.
I will let you know Monday because I told her, okay, we'll do this as an early birthday present for you. So I can't get Eliza to watch anything. And Eliza is 8 years old. She's going to be 9 in September. So she's got that 8-year-old attention span, the TikTok generation. I can't get her to watch anything over 45 seconds without her getting bored and moving on, right? This thing was 25 minutes and she was not moving off the couch. So she's got it planned out, man. She's going in, she's picking her dolls, she's getting the hair done, she's getting her hair done. Her mom, they do nails in there also.
Of course.
Okay. So
it's
we're
a
going
full
to
salon. Wow,
yes. Shebang. It's a cafe also. You go in there, you eat with your doll also. So
what?
It's a day.
They have these cute little miniature like high chairs and like booster seats for the dolls for you to have lunch with the doll that you just purchased.
Okay.
Yeah, the first time I went to New York, my aunt took me there, and it's one of my best memories. It's really sweet.
How old were you?
I was 10 years old.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like 22.
next time I go, I'm taking shots with my American Girl doll.
And you can drink in that thing?
Yes, that's like the thing. It's sort of like going to Epcot. Like, it's nostalgic like Disney, but then there's alcohol involved, so then it's like even more fun.
They got to do something for the parents?
Yes, well, that's a game changer right there. Yeah.
Poor Holly. Though.
Well, so we're doing. Yeah, poor Hollis.
He's kind of stuck.
I don't know how I'm gonna convince him to do 6 hours in that place, because it seems to me like when you're done with the whole thing, it's a whole day.
I wouldn't say it's like a 6-hour event, but it's definitely like a good chunk of your afternoon.
Okay, so we're doing that, and then I promised him for his sacrifice, we'll either go. He's a soccer fan, so we're gonna go to a Red Bulls game or a Yankees game at night.
Oh, that's a fair trade.
Yeah. So between all of us, I think that I can go and check out my mom, have some conversations with her, give her some comfort, and then also satisfy the rest of the family also.
There you go.
Sounds good.
I got an update on her yesterday. She came out of surgery, and I guess she's doing as well as could be expected.
Good.
She's been transferred into a different facility.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but I didn't know how like dementia patients handle like a surgery. I would wonder if like every time they woke up, they're like, what happened? Why am I in this bed?
Gosh, I don't know. You know what? I guess I'll get more of a beat on that this weekend. And, you know, hats off to my half brother who's up there. I told you guys yesterday, he's connected by location to my mom. They've never been close either, but he's doing the right thing, you know? So he's right down the street, so he's really kind of taking care of the whole thing. So he's been feeding me information on exactly what hotels I should stay in, so that's what we're going to do this weekend, and with any luck, it'll all be a win-win-win all the way around.
Good stuff.
The Burt Show.
All right, so War of the Roses. She is not exactly sure and comfortable that this dude has a platonic workout relationship with a coworker.
So about a year ago, my husband and I decided we needed to start paying attention to our health and get into better shape. We started eating clean, walking after work, and eventually got a gym membership and trainer. It was all my idea, and I really had to push him at first. He saw results so quickly and easily.
Must be nice being a man.
Here we go.
Yep. For me, it's been a struggle. Now, it seems that his new fit and healthy body is being shared with a coworker. Lately, he's been practically living at the office, coming home late, always blaming it on work. I suspect this one particular woman because her name pops up on his phone a lot. And not just during work hours. Late into the night, too. The other day, he even ended a call abruptly when I walked into the room.
That's not a good feeling.
Obviously, I'm furious, devastated, and terrified that I'm right. But to make it even worse, I'm so annoyed that I caused all of this by my insistence that we get into better shape.
Time out. You didn't cause any of this. I want you to repeat to yourself, I caused none of this.
Well, if she was in better shape to begin with,
Herbert's wife,
this would have never, ever been a problem. I mean,
she helped him get that body.
She may have helped him get that body, but she did not cause any of this. I want to reiterate that.
I'm the one who prepped all his healthy meals for the last year. I'm the one that got him the gym membership and trainer. I'm the one doing all the encouraging while struggling myself. Honestly, it feels like a sucker punch to the gut.
Not his. He doesn't have one anymore. Oh.
My, did you turn quickly?
It's a sucker punch to the lower abs.
You hurt your hand on that one, didn't you?
Like, did I really just spend the last year turning my husband into eye candy for some other woman?
Aw, babe.
I can't even begin to express how pissed off and hurt I am. But before I lose it, I need to know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
so I need some solid evidence before I confront him. Could you help?
Yeah, Kristen's right. You got to take you out of this. Yeah, like, yeah, it already sounds in this email a couple of different times, like, you're taking blame for this. Yeah. F that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no.
You
thought you said the word.
Yeah, for a second, I thought I actually said the word.
I like how you ever so gently put your fingers over your mouth, like, oopsie.
Clench your pearls a little bit.
Sometimes we record things for, like, after the show, which we can cuss on. So it's like a mixed world for us sometimes. Are we on there? Am I allowed to cuss? Am I not?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you haven't done anything here, man. I mean, if this is really going on, the first thing is a big-time bummer. But you didn't cause this because you were trying to get in shape together. Mm-hmm. So you can put that aside immediately, right? So we could test the guy tonight, and we'll give you results tomorrow. And if this is, we got to be prepared to comfort her and let her know that this was not her fault.
For sure.
Katie, so the last time we talked to you and brought you in here about your friend that was shooting the shot, she just messed it up in a million different ways.
It was back-to-back-to-back failures. So from what I told you all last time, there's this guy who works at one of these restaurants that we frequent often, and she likes him, but she was afraid to approach him for some odd reason. So she thought he would be best hooked up with another friend of hers that went to a bartending class with her. And so she showed it to him and was like, hey, are you single? And he's thinking that she's asking for herself, but she was asking for another woman, ruined it, then mentioned she was going on a date with somebody else, ruined it double times. And I'm like, woman, can you not see this man has always been flirting with you every time we come in? And she's like, no, no way that's possible. He doesn't like black women. I was like, how would you know? So I tell her, I'm like, I had a conversation with him when you went to the bathroom. He actually wanted you. And so I didn't know how she should handle it and backtrack and try to get him back, right? So time goes by and he slides into her DMs. He sees a gym selfie that she posts and he's like, where was my invite?
Booyah.
Right?
Booyah.
It doesn't get more obvious than
right?
that. I'm like, even after what you did, he still slid into your DMs and was like, where is my invite?
You're going to have to show up to the gym and spot her in order for her to get it.
That's not going
to
be enough.
No?
Uh-huh.
More than that.
She still wasn't convinced. And I was like, girl.
Are you serious?
Yes. And it's a problem that I'm trying to work on with her. She still wasn't convinced. But I was like, if you want to be in a relationship where she always complains about how she's can't find the right guy, can't do all this. She's missing out on her own blessings because I feel like she doesn't want to take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to be the woman to take a chance.
You know what? This reminds me a lot of you when you were talking about having a crush on that woman and you couldn't decide if she had a crush on you or not.
Oh.
So my question for you, Katie, is what would it have taken for that, for you to realize that that woman had a crush on you?
Or take, because I don't know that she knows now.
She would have to kiss me on the lips. Like, she would have to, like, be, like, dead eye, mm-hmm. eye contact and kiss me. And I'm like, oh, she does like me. But that, we're not talking about me. But, yes, it's weird. I mean, I can give out the advice, but I can't take it.
Mm-hmm. Most of us.
Exactly. So I was like, girl, you need to stop doing this. You're missing out on your blessings. Just ask him if he wants to go out.
Mm-hmm.
So she does, to my surprise.
She did?
She did. She asked him, she's like, hey, would you like to go out this weekend? And maybe we can, you know, hang out, talk about whatever they want to talk about. And he was like, okay, will the bartender girl be there?
Oh.
Passing the class, right?
No.
But he was making a joke.
Okay. Yeah. I thought he was really asking. Okay.
No, he wasn't. He was like, he was making a joke about it. And she's like, no, it would just be both of us. And then he put the little smirky emoji.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the smirk.
The little smirk. So yep. I'm like, are you convinced now? She's like, yes. So this weekend.
They are.
They have a date.
Okay.
All right.
And hopefully it goes well. But she's taking her chance.
Okay.
And this is good.
What about you? When you're taking your chance? You could have a date too.
Okay. All right. Uh-huh. I need to do that. Actually, I don't know. I don't. Wow. Look at that.
We're out of time.
Boys, you're running out of words.
I don't know what to do. My love life is dead.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Yesterday was a 2-for-1 special in Hollywood in the absolute worst way. One day, two separations. The first news came from TMZ about Ariana Grande and her husband Dalton. Literally yesterday, I reported that Ari was at Wimbledon sporting a ringless left hand. And then the news dropped that she and her husband are supposedly separated.
We weren't surprised by that one, because when I asked you guys yesterday, like, what's a really legit reason to not be wearing your wedding ring out in public like that? I thought maybe, okay, maybe it's getting cleaned or something. You guys were like, nah, you stupid.
Also, I saw a picture. She went with her co-star, thank you, Jonathan Bailey from Wicked, and which is cool. You can be friends. But then I saw a picture of them together, like for the fashion, and his arm was around her, which is not that weird.
How low was it?
It was like hip low, and it was curled around.
Ooh. But a little curl.
I could get past that. But the smile on her face, I don't, maybe she just doesn't smile in photos often and does the like pouty celeb stare. She looked like she was glowing and so dang happy. I have literally never seen Ariana Grande look this happy in a photo.
As much as I would love to get on board with the fact that these two would make an adorable couple, because I love Jonathan Bailey, he's gay. And
well, that's, maybe she's just happy that she's free then.
we love a happy woman. And to be fair, if I was standing next to Jonathan Bailey, I would have a massive smile on my face too.
They just looked like they were having a genuine good time there at Wimbledon. Like the way he was, like there was videos of the two of them laughing, and it was really, really cute.
Can things really turn that quickly in a marriage in 2 years? I mean, because they weren't dating all that long beforehand, right?
Yes. Yeah. Life comes at you fast, man.
Yeah. 2 years. Yeah. I guess maybe. Well, he's a celebrity too. Yeah. Whatever. 2 years.
Well, they were a quarantine couple. And so a lot of the rumors coming out about why they split is apparently he just couldn't handle the fame, which I thought was really interesting, because that's the exact same excuse that people gave Joe Alwyn for his split with Taylor Swift. And so people on Twitter are like, do these men not know who they're marrying? These are two of the most famous pop stars on the planet.
I think that guys think that they can handle a whole bunch more than they really can. So when you get into that situation and it's constant eyes on you and every rumor is starting that's really not true necessarily, I think you're like, oh, I'm better than that, man. This isn't going to bother me. Besides, I'm a celebrity too. And then when you get in it, that magnitude, I'm going to give them a little grace here. It might be more than they thought they signed up for.
That reminds me of that thread that's been going viral where women are asking their husbands, texting them like, hey, do you think you could land a plane with air control talking you through it if it were an emergency? And all the guys were like, yeah, that's fine. I'm a teacher for a living, but I could totally do that.
Right.
Which I love the confidence, but I think that speaks to your point. You're right. I think like it seems from the outside like we're in it together. And then when you're constantly chipped away at by the media, by fans, by people talking about you, by your significant other being gone or working or on set, that has to be such a hard relationship.
Yeah, wasn't it Charlie Puth that said to you and I, Mo, that like the human design is not built for this kind of input? So even if you're going online and seeing all these rumors about you that you know aren't true, it's still going to affect you. And the magnitude of the stars you guys are talking about is so big, that kind of input is impossible.
Yeah, he said something to the extent of like the human brain cannot withstand the opinions of millions of people that you don't know. Like, that's not something you're supposed to have to deal with. And I think I would be one of those guys who thinks I could do that. Not a problem. Until you're in it, and I'm sure it's different being there.
Now, the other breakup was a little bit more shocking to me, even though there were some rumors the last couple of days.
Yeah, so I think was it literally last week we were talking about Sofia Vergara and her husband. He had this quote-unquote cold happy birthday post, and I thought it was dumb. I was like, let the man just say happy birthday to his wife and move on. But she was also in Italy by herself, which I thought was a little bit suspicious. So we found out from Page Six that Sofia Vergara and Joe Manganiello are divorcing after 7 years.
Because his post to his dog was more affectionate on the dog's birthday than it was to his wife.
I thought that was the bigger clue right there, that in the past he said some really beautiful things about her in his posts about her on her birthday, and this was just a one-liner, Feliz cumpleaños, and that was it, man.
So they were divorced before the post. They didn't get divorced because of the post.
They're getting divorced.
Oh, okay.
And people have been, I think, on it now because
of the Insta posts.
Yeah.
So they were last spotted in June. Somebody, I think it might have been Dumois, posted a photo of them. They were leaving some restaurant, and literally you would have thought it was quarantine because they were like 6 feet apart just walking down the street together, but not looking especially cozy.
Yeah, I feel bad for the two of them because they will never find anybody else, you know.
As hot as them?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, no, period. They're just going to be so lonely. I mean, look at them. Ew.
And imagine coming into, like, if you started dating Joe Manganiello and you're like, but he used to have Sofia Vergara. I would be so in my head about it. There's no freaking way.
For sure.
A country pop star stopped her concert to scold fans, and now they're big mad. We'll chat about it on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I don't think technically the books that Abby and Cassie told us that they read quite often are considered graphic novels, but they certainly are graphic. Very, very graphic.
That's a good idea. They should make those graphic novels.
Some of them do. They're online.
We'll talk after this.
You will be shocked by what they read quite frequently. We just can't talk about it here, but we could talk about it in graphic detail on our bonus content, which we did this week. You can hit it up at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
Fairies and clowns and Martians. Oh, my.
Don't forget about the aliens.
Oh, yes, and the aliens. So if you ever have a dilemma, like this one particular Burt Show listener, their relationship was going great until they got engaged, and now she's wondering if she should call it off. You can always hit us up at theburtshow.com, shoot us an email. We'll throw it out to the Burt Show fam, and 9 times out of 10, somebody's been the exact same situation as you. And this particular one goes, hey, Burt Show, I'm a newer listener of the show and enjoys listening to the podcast on my way to and from work every day. I love how honest and genuine all of you are when it comes to these kinds of things, especially Kristen. Thank you. So I would really love to hear what you guys might have to say about this situation I am currently in. I am 24 years old, soon to be 25, and I am supposed to get married in about 4 months. My fiance and I have been together for 3 years, but we've actually known each other for 7. He's a year and a half younger than me, and at the beginning of our relationship, it didn't bother me because he seemed to be mature in a lot of ways. The first 2 years of the relationship were really good, but since we got engaged, things have not felt the same. My fiance has had a lot of anxiety about the wedding, and he isn't excited about it at all, which makes me worry. He doesn't even like to talk about it and seems to get anxious every time it's brought up. I have felt like I've had to walk on eggshells around him with it, which I know isn't right. I have dreamed about my wedding since I was 13, and this just hasn't felt like how I always imagined it would. I feel like he's not ready for this, and even those around us, like my family, have noticed it too. Our relationship has become more stressful than it is happy. I haven't felt truly happy in a while, and it's become not just about the wedding. I've had a gut feeling for months that it might not be right, but I kept pushing it down and ignoring it, and now I'm here. I just visited Washington State for the first time with my mom, and while being there, I had a breakthrough in how I really feel about this relationship. Even things besides the wedding, I realized I cannot be in this relationship anymore, and I believe that there is more out there for me. So now I'm on a plane, home, writing this email, and wondering how I'm going to break the news to my fiance and his family. His mom and I are very close, and I'm worried about how she will take it. I really don't want to hurt anybody, but I know in my heart, this is the right thing. I could really use some encouragement and any advice you guys might have on this. Thank you so much.
I'm going to rely on you guys on this one because this has been a lifelong struggle for me. In that I will put off and put off and put off conversations that I know are going to be hurtful and get myself in a really, really, really bad situations. And I'm still working on it. I'm in one of these right now. So I'm leaning on you guys.
All right, Mo, if you were the man in this situation, how would you want that news delivered?
I feel like this is the kind of thing where there's no easy way to do it. And if it were me, I just would want you to be honest. That would be enough closure for me. I would hate for you to feel like you have to just go through a relationship with me just to do it for anything other than you want to be there. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to hear. But if you were to sit me down and just explain to me that this is exactly how you are feeling and you feel like the best thing, and she also feels like he's not even happy in it. So I think you point that out and you point out how you're feeling And I don't think he can do anything but respect that.
Isn't she making a lot of assumptions here? And as you and I know, four agreements.
Yes, sir.
What's one of the four agreements?
Never assume.
So she's assuming a lot of things here that she may be interpreting through her own lens that might not be true for him. So I don't even think she's had a conversation with him about it yet.
I don't. It doesn't sound like she has, from my perspective, either. And reminder, she's 24. They've been together 7 years. So they've been dating since they were 17. Mm. You're a very different person at 17 than you are at 24. Not to say that you can't have longevity there, but she feels how she feels. And I'm going to validate that. And I'm proud of you for coming to that conclusion and like honoring how you're feeling about the relationship. But you do owe him a chance to explain his feelings and where he's coming from and why he's been acting the way he's been acting.
Yeah, you can't ignore that gut feeling. Even though she hasn't had an explicit conversation about how he feels about the wedding, it sounds like it's not even really about his excitement anymore. It sounds like through this breakthrough, she realized that this just is not the right relationship for her. And maybe it just took getting engaged and actually planning out a future to realize that the person that was right for you at 17 isn't the person that's right for you at 25.
Well, that's a good point. Those are good points.
Mm-hmm. She'll probably get more answers than she realizes she'll get in just simply talking to him and getting his perspective.
Like, she doesn't say that she's not in love with him anymore, right? She's just feeling the anxiety and feels like there's something different.
Well, she says she feels like there's something else out there for her because she's not truly happy anymore.
She goes, I realized I cannot be in this relationship anymore. I believe that there is more out there for me.
Okay, yeah, time to bail.
Yeah. That's the line that got me.
Yeah, that's the one. Time to bail, Sabercha.
You're on The Burt Show.
Y'all, it finally happened. I got to go to Burt's new house.
Which one? You've missed three. I've been to three new homes.
I saw the first. I saw the townhouse. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. I saw the townhouse.
That was the post-divorce.
Correct.
Okay.
And then, because I did my laundry there. I also saw the house after that.
Okay.
Which was lovely. You had a Christmas party there and everything.
Oh, that's right. That Remember? Was wild, man.
Yes, it was.
A terrible party. It was fun.
Yeah, it was. That was wild. Yeah.
And then you moved after that. That house, I never saw.
That was the one all the way up in, like, Toronto.
Correct.
Swanee.
Yes, yeah. Right. I never made the Lord of the Rings trek to Swanee. However, I got my ass to Johns Creek.
Yes, you did.
I did. And it was so funny. So I'm driving.
And you should
and
know
I'm driving.
And you should know this.
And I'm driving.
Hold on. Hold on.
And I'm driving. No.
Well, it's not that far.
It's a 30-minute drive from my house.
From Buckhead.
Yes.
From Buckhead to Johns Creek. And again, if you're a new listener, I just have a weird quirk about people being in my house no reason.
I could feel it.
Could you really?
Yes.
That's funny because I didn't feel it at all when you were there.
Oh, you did it?
Not at all.
So I get there and I pull up and I brought like a little small housewarming gift because I got you the stone for Riggins for the new house. But because I know you're cutting back on alcohol, I brought us some mocktails, right? So I got some mocktails and some, you know, some environmentally conscious straws. And I pull up to the house, and you have a gorgeous home in a beautiful neighborhood.
Thank you.
I mean, pulling in, I knew I was in for a treat because they have like a full-on like koi pond fountain waterfall feature in the very front of this neighborhood. So I get and I pull, and you come to the door, and it was, you know, I felt like we were awkward.
That's funny because I think I was only awkward when I opened up the door because it's been so long.
Yes.
Right? That this little thing has turned into a big thing because it's just been way too long. I mean, because we're too good of friends for you not to be over. But I just didn't grow up in a home where my parents allowed the kids in the house, like kids, neighbors in the house. So when there's anybody in my house, including my own family, so when there's anybody out of my family in the house, it just gives me this awkward feeling. But as soon as I opened up the door, it was only awkward for me for a second because it just felt stupid that it's taken so long. That's the only awkwardness I had.
So I come in and Bert gives me like the tour of the house, right? Because I mean, that's what you do. And it's a beautiful home with the full furnished basement. Like Hollis has his own freaking lair down there.
It's
He's
stupid.
Living the teenage dream.
And it's a guy's tour. It's not a tour a woman would give another woman, because I've seen this before where Tiffany is giving people a tour of the house and she'll spend 8 minutes in each room explaining exactly like the motivation behind the decorations and blah, blah, blah. And for a guy, it's like, okay, so there's the bathroom. There's the living room. This is the main room where we don't eat. Upstairs is the master. Let me take you up there real quick. I mean, we are done in a minute and a half.
But he is. He's like, but I mean, you didn't miss it. Or he's like, here's the laundry room. And I'm like, thanks. we went outside, we checked out the decks, and then it was so funny because I did, and then after we both had a glass of wine, I felt we were like, okay, now we're buddy, we're good friends again, and this is totally fine. But it was so funny because it's sweet because you care, and it's I don't know if it's the people pleaser in you or what it was, but it was just so funny that there was, even though you and I have known each other for 12 years and we're dear friends, like there was that little bit of awkwardness because, you know, I'm just kind of walking around. Mm-hmm. I'm doing, and I'm going to post this later on Instagram, that Tiffany Haddish viral audio that's like, ooh, that's nice. Ooh, that's nice.
Well, it's intimidating to have somebody like you over for me because your house is so put together and it is so beautiful and you take so much pride in it.
Well, thank you.
That quite honestly, our house wasn't decorated until last week, totally last week. And we've been in it almost a year. I went with Hayden to Japan.
Have you already been in that house a year?
Almost a year, I
really?
Think.
Really?
Is it almost a year?
Can't be.
No, it can't
be. That feels
be.
Too fast.
7-8 months? Something like that?
Maybe.
Whatever it is. Anyway, so when I was in Japan, Tiffany finished the decorating on the house and surprised me. So when I came home, I'm like, now I can have Kristen over. So I legitimately, as soon as I walked in the door, and I thought, all right, she's done a really great job decorating this place. That's when I called and I said, come on in.
You have a beautiful home. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for finally having me out there.
Yeah, so
I'll
stupid.
See you at the next house.
The quirk and insecurity is just so stupid. And while we were hanging out, you know, catching up and... I just realized while you were talking to me, like, it's so stupid that I have this quirk, but I just haven't been able to get over it.
You See, think it's gone now?
Yeah, it's stupid. For those that, Kristen is a good friend of mine. Even if the house was junk, she would make me feel good about it, right?
Well, of course, but it's not, so you know. But we were sitting on the couch, and it was actually nice. I mean, sharing stories that don't even, like, share on air, and just to be able to have that reconnect. So thank you for inviting me to your home. I had a lovely time.
Thanks for coming in and not judging me.
You're welcome.
Hi, Romeo. You're calling it a rite of passage.
I am.
Which is?
So I believe so. Every person in the entertainment industry has to go through this job, right? And that is to be a waiter or a waitress. Mm. And then now that I'm in acting classes and I'm actually trying to pursue that a little more, you know, passionately and more serious, I would say, I feel like I'm in that space where, one, I want to move out, so I need some extra cash.
You're really getting serious about this.
Oh, yeah. And it's crazy because I think I'm going to move out without telling my parents. Like, I'm...
What?
Yeah, I know. We can get into that some other day. But
I think this is the hard left we got to take right now.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
How do you move out of your parents' home without telling your parents?
And let's re-explain also. So... Romeo comes from a Latino family.
Yes.
They are from El Salvador, and there's a cultural difference in his culture. Like, it's like, you stay, and I'm almost insulted if you leave.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you don't move out unless you're having, like, a kid or you're getting married. That's it. Like, you move out once you're married. And so, I'm 26 years old. I realized, like, I think my parents think that going and paying for an apartment is kind of a waste of money. So they've always been like, if you're going to move out, get something off your own. And I've been like, okay, yeah, like, I don't know if I want to do that. And I started thinking like, okay, if it's a waste of money, it's a waste of my money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key word. It's my money. So if I'm going to waste it, why do I care? So then I was thinking, maybe I'll just like, go look at apartments behind their back and not even tell them and then just show up one day with the lease.
So what will happen if you tell them that you're going through this whole thing and you're planning on taking off? A, have you done that before? And B, in your mind, the conversation's going to go so bad you'd rather not deal with it?
I think they'll talk me out of it. That's generally it. I think they've done it before. I've mentioned it to try to get like their help in certain things, like, or get advice generally just to like see like, okay, that's a big move. And yeah, they always talk me out of it. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, that is a waste of money. Maybe I should save up for something of my own. And now I'm just at that point where it's just like, no, let me just do this.
So in order to follow through, you're like, I literally have to show up with the signed lease papers and be like, this is a done deal. I'm out.
Yeah, like I can't back out. Sorry.
So you're not going to ghost them. Like, they're not going to wake up one day and all your stuff's going to be gone in the middle of the night. You'll just be like, I signed a lease. Yeah. I'm moving it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Because I was about to get really upset for your mama.
No.
Okay. All right. Now, you know your family way better than anybody else in here. But I think in my family, well, no, I can't take my family out of it.
You do. I love you, but you do.
Because if I showed up with just the lease and said I'm moving out, they would have been like, we would have helped you, right? We would have helped you look for a place. So if you do that and you tell them, look, here's the lease I'm taking off, they're not going to be mad by that?
I think they'll be a little bit upset, but I personally believe that I will get more help from them afterwards than I would before.
Okay. Mm. All right.
So
that's a big step, dude.
We'll see. We'll find out. Maybe I'll get in trouble.
I won't be here. Nope. You ain't ready to move out.
That's the Burt Show.
You're on the Burt Show.